The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's another Flash TV Talk night, which means it's a good night.
Hey, man, always a good night for a Flash TV Talk night. And of course, tonight we are broadcasting live. Admittedly, man, we're a bit late getting started for the live show, but shouts out to everybody tuning in at facebook.com/Flash TV Talk. Thank y'all so much for being here. And hey, if you want to join us next week, if you're listening to this on the podcast and you want to join us for the live show next week, we do these on Wednesday nights, ideally at 5 o'clock Central Time, but we'll see what the technology allows, as it did tonight. But one way or the other, we are here and happy to be. Bell, before we jump into this wonderful episode, there is a little bit of housekeeping I want to make people aware of. First, of course, we are a member of the DC TV Talk Network. If you haven't visited dctvtalk.com, you should check out some great shows, like, for example, Legends TV Talk. Bell, yep. Legends has returned.
It has, and it's the greatest show on television.
And one imagines the greatest podcast on the internet.
Presumably.
Let's just say that's what you're going for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is pretty amazing. I mean, you get to see my beautiful face along with the faces of my beautiful co-hosts.
Also,
Will and Kyle.
Yes. Also, want to encourage you to check out Panel to Screen later this week, where we will have a Venom review of the new film Venom. You know, the guy from Spider-Man. Look, I know this is a DC podcast and that sort of thing, but we got Panel to Screen episodes rocking and rolling. So if you see
that, we had Marvel references on this episode, you know, so I mean, I think it fits.
Did we, Bell, or did we have Norse God reference that is technically in the public domain?
It is in the public domain, but in the public lexicon, as it were, if you ask that someone, hey, do you know who Thor is? I'd be like, oh, yeah, the Marvel movie guy, right?
That's good. And then finally, I just want to mention this. Last week, I mentioned it at the tail end of the show, but since this week is not necessarily a season premiere episode, I'll mention it at the top of this show. I've got a new podcast out. Podasteri's got a new podcast out called Red Flag that is about our home state of Mississippi and our flag here. And the efforts to change it and kind of an explanation as to why that's going on. So if you've never checked out our state before, if you're unaware of what's kind of going on in the local area and as it pertains to that flag, Confederate monuments in general, be sure to check out redflagpodcast.com and check out the show on iTunes and Spotify. All right, that's out of the way. Bell, are you ready for this?
I am.
Let's jump into The Rundown.
The Rundown.
Episode 2 of Season 5, Blocked, directed by Kim Miles and story by
Eric Wallace and Judalina Neria.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Barry struggles to train the overeager Nora, who enlists herself as a CSI intern in order to spend more time with her father, much to Iris's discomfort. Meanwhile, Caitlin and Ralph try to help Cisco in the aftermath of his breakup with Gypsy, and Cecile loses her telepathy and struggles to connect with her child. Furthermore, a new meta called Block, who can create blocks of dense air, starts robbing from arms dealers, and while trying to stop her, the team has their first encounter with Cicada, the masked man who killed Gridlock.
Dun, dun, dun! All right, Bell. All right, so this was a fairly straightforward episode, yet contained so much goodness. And for me, man, it all kind of comes to the scene of the crime where everything went down. Here we had Barry actually working a crime scene. We had Captain Singh back for the second week in a row, and we had Iris doing investigatory journalism right then and there. Like, to me, that's really started strong, kind of with all the stuff that a lot of fans have been missing from previous seasons, all back in one episode.
Which means we'll never see it again.
That's so pessimistic, man. To me, this seems almost like it's been, thus far anyway, kind of a corrective course with the season. And we've seen this kind of going into this. We've heard from some of the writing staff and in the way that this season is being kind of marketed, promoted, is that they do want to kind of, they have been listening to fans, and they are kind of getting back to some of the core demands that a lot of fans have had. And a lot of this is right in here. Barry actually working the crime scene. We saw him in the lab last week. We now actually see him. We granted did not see him do his Sherlock thing, but given the promo for next week, maybe we will not see him do too much Sherlocking, as that might be for someone else down the pipeline. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But no, man, he's there. And right alongside him, man, he's got his new intern, Nora.
Yes. And that was, I agree with you completely. Like, it's really nice to see all the stuff we've been wanting to see for a long time. And it's kind of funny how Captain Singh was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. This person who just like snuck in here and decided to be an intern, and you hired them without my permission. Sure. Okay, fine. Whatever. You have a backlog. This will help you get it done.
Hey, don't you dare question Captain Singh's judgment. I'm sure there's a perfectly good reason for why some stranger that he's never seen before can actively have access to all of these crime background information and surely, classified stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I fear the beard. So, like, there's no way I'm going to second guess him.
Exactly. Plus, she's peppy. And she's happy to be there. And man, look, I love Nora. I make no qualms about this. I've loved Nora since she first appeared last season. And I am totally digging her relationship with Barry. And actually, I'm kind of digging the subtlety or whatever's going on under the surface between her and Iris. Now, we do see Iris showing up at the crime scene. And, immediately Singh's like, all right, shut it down. We got the media, like.
Well, he sees Nora, and then all of a sudden Iris shows up and he's like, can somebody please secure the crime scene? People just wandering on this crime scene. Like, it's just no big deal.
It's like, what is this, Star Labs? We can't just have people.
Yeah, right.
So he does have a kind of a brief one-on-one with her. She's trying to get some more information. And we do, see that she is actively doing the journalistic thing. Now, granted, she's doing it through her own blog. I don't know how I feel about that. Now, we've seen her doing the blog from episode 5 of season 1. I could be wrong about that. But she's been blogging since the beginning, regardless of whatever paper or if paper is in the correct nomenclature at this point. But whatever news source she's been working for, she's always had kind of some sort of blogging, especially about the Flash and metas. But man, to me, it seems like there would be more validity if either her blog kind of took off and became its own thing, so she actually got a staff, which would make sense with some of the experience that she'd had in the past, or if she was actually picked back up by one of the more established networks in the area.
Yeah, I would think the more likely scenario there that she would be picked up by a network that's in the area and kind of like expand on that. It's like, hey, Iris, we loved your blog. Why don't you come on and make a segment on our news program about like Flash sightings and Flash stuff? That's kind of how I see that going. Although I think it would be really cool, though, if, the blog picks up and she kind of starts her own, not news network, but like her own program or her own show or something like that. Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I could definitely see something like that. Maybe actually her doing some live streaming. I mean, we actually do see Iris in various forms as more of a TV personality. It just depends on what universe or what iteration of the character you see. But it would be kind of cool to actually have her do that. I don't know. Maybe because of the route they're taking her with a little bit more underground journalism, that it might start off as more of her doing kind of FaceTime or that sort of deal. But one way or the other, as much as, she was a great part of Team Flash and a good team leader overall, I think her getting back to the more journalistic aspect and what she can bring from that side of things, I think will be really solid. But I do hope that we actually see some validation of that and not just her running a blog. And no offense, by the way, to everybody who's out there that runs a blog, but let's be honest, if, you run a blog and then all of a sudden, CNN wants to like pop in and say like, hey, here's X amount of money. Here's a big table of money. And we want to give you a TV show. You're going to do that TV show.
Oh, for sure. And I also hope that Iris doesn't get arrested for like, improper use of police materials when she's going through that database and looking at police body cam footage. Yeah, not sure how legal that might have been.
Hey, it's fine. It's fine. Nora, who literally has no ID, is now on the force. It's totally fine. And you know what? It's great, too. In fact, it's shway, because Nora has got future knowledge, man. She's been taught the physics and the crime syndicates and the such and such and words that we don't even have yet in this present time that we live in.
Yeah, technologies that don't exist. She's very fluent in those, which don't help her at all as a CSI, as she promptly touches the cube of meat that used to be a dude. And that was actually very surprising for me that they, because, like, you know, they obviously imply it that he's getting squished down in there and they make the noise. I did not think that they would show a cube. And they got the density right, too. Like, that was great. Like, I thought they were going to just pick it up and be like, you know, oh, it's this thing. And then they're like, no, it's you know, 180 pound cube of meat. And I was that was, you know, it wasn't OMG science. It was actual science. And
wow.
I was impressed.
That's got to be a rarity. I mean, this might be the first time ever that you've been impressed about the science of the show.
But, you know, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, what was it? Oh, gosh. The guy who could make everything smaller.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, he's shrinking stuff down and, you know, picking up a building and or picking up a giant, you know, car with one hand or whatever. And nah, that's
it's
not
part
how
of
it
his
works.
Metapower, but you know what? That's
I know, but whatever. It's like, but this, you know, her metapower, she squishes him down and it didn't change his density. He kept the same density. And it was just a 180 pound cube of gross.
It was disgusting. This is true. Now, of course, before all of this went down, you know, we did see a kind of a brief battle. We are introduced to Block, a character that I am in no way familiar with. In fact, I think I'm safe to say that she is not a comic book character. I think she is a complete original creation for the show.
That's my guess too, but I am not the expert.
Well, I mean, like, you know, they are, like, this series is known for making some deep cuts and pulling out characters that people haven't seen in years, and you know, that's awesome when they do that. But, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with creating your own character. Interesting power set to have, though, right?
Yeah, making these super dense columns of air that she can surround herself with, that's kind of neat. You know, it's a kind of, I wonder, like, it's a kind of interesting, you know, use for it where she can squish people or she can protect herself or she can capture people. And I don't know. It's pretty neat. But I'm wondering here, though, my one question about her is this one of the new waves of meta is like, you know, are they doing the same thing where she's been asleep since the particle accelerator? Or she just now found her powers? Like, where is this new wave of metas coming from?
All right. So can we say that we're now at a part of the show where we don't necessarily need an explanation for that? Like,
that's fine with me. I don't care. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious in that sort of, you know, they're a hand wavy explain away kind of thing. Like, are they saying, oh yeah, there's just a bunch of them now and it's fine. And I'm cool with that explanation too, but I didn't know. Did I miss something? Was there a new meta? That's what I'm trying to figure out, is whether or not I missed something or if they just are like, whatever, who cares, there's metas.
Yeah, that was, you know, one of the problems I had with the whole explanation of the bus metas from last season was that we didn't need that. We didn't need another big bang of sorts to be able to create a whole nother wave of metas, because from what we saw in the pilot, it was so big and mass spread that, yeah, I mean, like, theoretically, there's tons of metas running around. In fact, Zoom had his whole, like, meta army of all of these folks that we haven't seen since and, you know, never saw before. But, like, there's just tons of them out there. We don't need origin stories for everybody. Big lightning, dark matter, portal, gamma radiation. It all came leaking out, and now there's a bunch of people who can do crazy things, including make giant air pocket blocks for whatever reason. Now, so she's out doing her thing. Team Flash has got to take her down. We do get some great team up moments, and Barry decides that he needs to train Nora. She's extremely, as you mentioned before, over eager to impress him, obviously, as he is her hero. And man, I loved the conversation that Barry had with Joe about, like, you know, kind of connecting on this, the fact that Barry kind of saw Joe as his hero, this idea of, like, father, son, father, child, parent, child, relationship, and kind of the way that you idealize your parents, at least at certain stage or for some people. And for Nora, it goes so much further. Cause again, literally there was a giant golden statue of her dad. It takes hero worship to a whole nother level.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And let's talk about for a second here, you know, we're talking about metas and new metas and you know, powers and stuff like that. I'm pretty confident that Joe is a metahuman and that his power is super dad.
yes.
Yeah, and it will take a lot to convince me otherwise. He always has the right thing to say at the right moment for the right situation. And it's just, Joe is super dead, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and when he dies on screen, it's going to kill us all. So please keep him alive. Please. I know I said like a while back that he's going to have to die at some point, and I realized that he's going to have to die at some point, but can it be like never? Can that be the point? Just never? That would be amazing. Man, Joe actually does have some great super dad moments throughout with Cecile. Obviously, Super Dad is a new dad. He seems fairly exhausted, probably for that reason. We did learn, of course, that Cecile actually does not have her powers, that this was actually just a residual of the device that she had.
Yes, and that was an interesting twist there. I thought they were going to, when they mentioned them in the last episode, I was like, huh, okay, so they're going to have a story arc with this, I guess, kind of. And it looks like they are in a little way. It's just going to be Cecile sort of dealing with that and, figuring out how to become a regular parent again. So that'll be neat to see.
Yeah. You know, all right. So I actually liked that they did this because it kind of kept me on my toes throughout the episode with her. Like, I thought that maybe we were going to discover that she was never reading the baby's thoughts, but the baby was projecting its thoughts to her. And so the idea was that perhaps the child still, or the child actually is a meta, but from all intents and purposes at this point, it would seem that that is absolutely not the case.
Yes. Yes. It seems like she is losing the powers. The powers were not part of the child. It was all on her, and now they're going away.
Yeah. So
could you talk, let's talk about the postpartum depression. That would be like, you know, postpartum depression is a thing, but like when you lose a psychic link with your child.
Ooh, yeah, man.
That's got to be huge.
They're going to need a bigger therapist.
Speaking of which, let's hope she comes back for this season.
I do hope she. I'm worried that she's too tied to last season, and last season has kind of a bad taste in people's mouth, but I really liked her.
I don't know, man. Post. Yeah, you know, Cisco's having some issues. Maybe he can seek some help.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Self-care is important. But yeah, so Cecile and Joe, they kind of have their arc, and of course, Joe is ever the super dad. Now, you mentioned Cisco having some trouble, man. He is dealing with some, you know, he got it bad.
Super bad.
So as I understood this, and correct me with the OMG science, but because he and,
Gypsy,
thank you. Because he and Gypsy were both, breachers, they were in sync on like their vibrations. Thus, he still is, even though she's in another Earth, he can still feel her.
Yes. It's like, well, it's I guess it's something to do with his love of her. It sort of like linked them in the breachiness. And so every time he tries to breach thoughts of her, because she is, I think it wouldn't have been a problem had she not been also a breacher. But because of like, I guess how he vibes has a lot to do with, you know, his emotional state and like the object and the, you know, but since I guess he's so linked with Gypsy mentally still, it's just causing a problem because she is also a breacher. And so there's all this weird stuff that happens. I mean, I don't know. I'm OMG sciencing that out of my butt. So
here's the part that I was trying to understand. And I mean, I know it's kind of throwaway, but I just really wanted to understand it. Is the idea that he literally, because he talks about like smelling what she smells, like is he experiencing her experiences at the moment when he breaches, or is he just kind of being kind of melodramatic because he's going through a breakup?
My guess was that he's being melodramatic, but I can't tell for sure because we didn't see him like try to breach and then see Gypsy or something similar to that. And so my guess is that he's just being melodramatic and it's all like, and it's in his head, but it's affecting the way that he breaches.
Interesting. One way or the other, he's got it bad. And so, Caitlin decides that who better to get a guy out of his funk than a funky guy. And so they go to the Book of Ralph.
Ah, yes. The Book of Ralph.
The Book of Ralph is long and boring and filled with so many things. I don't know the rest of the words to the song, but there are instructions for dancing.
I don't know where that's from.
It's a song. Anyway, Book of Ralph. Ralph continues to be likable.
Yes, I think he's turned around. He's done a complete 180.
I'm not prepared to go with you on that, but I will say that Ralph continues to be likable. I did dig the stylist, Bruce, coming in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's my wild theory. Bruce the stylist, is this Earth's Bruce Wayne?
Negatory.
No, man. See, this is what happened. Bruce's parents in this Earth never died, and he's fine. But because he's kind of, a wealthy kid, he went to school for some sort of like weird artistic design that doesn't make any like business sense, but it's okay because your parents have money, and then became a clothing designer or a stylist, and that's how he does what he does, and is able to go around the Central City and create new looks for people.
And no.
Okay, that was.
I was hoping when they said his name was Bruce, it was going to be Bruce Campbell.
Ah, nice.
Just for some reason, I think I read like two tweets back to back. One was about Bruce Campbell and one was about the next episode of The Flash. And I think my brain merged them. And so when I heard Bruce, I was like, oh, it's going to be Bruce Campbell. It wasn't.
Karen, 100% not having my theory.
Yeah. that makes two of us. Yeah, that probably makes all of us.
Yeah, that's,
I don't even think you agree with it.
No, I just thought it was funny. So they try to turn Cisco around and some nice hijinks ensue. But, during the process, of course, it becomes apparent to Cisco and to Ralph that Caitlin's really dealing with this father issue of who her father is and kind of the question of, if he is alive, then he didn't actually choose to be a part of her life. I don't know. I mean, do you think that's accurate? Do you think that, in fact, he wasn't active in her life? Or do you think that maybe he was active from afar? Or do you think that maybe there's been some mind-altering things that have gone on with Caitlin?
Well, no. I mean, like, I wasn't expecting her blow up in Ralph's office. I thought they were going to try to, like, drag that out, that she's avoiding the whole situation.
Right.
And it seems to me like what's going on is... the reason why her father is not in her life is less to do with her father not caring about her and more to do with her mother trying to keep him away from her because of some either a misguided attempt to protect her or a serious attempt to protect her because he might be bad news. We don't know.
What if, because I mean, we did get the indication at least that Killer Frost, like that she was Killer Frost before the events post Flashpoint.
So yes.
What if during her childhood, when she was with her mother, she was Caitlin, and when she was with her father, she was Killer Frost, and therefore she doesn't remember, like, she essentially had that relationship through Killer Frost, but she doesn't, as Caitlin, remember that?
That's an interesting theory. I could see that. It could be that, maybe her dad has these ice meta powers, passed them on to her, and that she spent time as a child as Killer Frost, like you said. I could see that. And the reason why she wouldn't remember it is because she only until recently has been able to kind of like merge those personalities and remember the things that have happened while she was Killer Frost.
Right.
And Caitlin. And yeah. No, that makes sense.
I do hope that we get that. I hope that we actually see her merging so that Killer Frost and Caitlin are not two people, but actually one person. Like, I find that to be more interesting, and I feel like there's more conflict in Caitlin when she just recognizes she can't like write this off of, oh, it wasn't me, it was Killer Frost. Like, no, that was you. Like, that needs to be you.
Yeah. That would be it would make her decisions a lot more interesting, right? When she can't just, blame everything on this other person.
I think so. I did want to make mention of this, man. When they're trying to figure out the satellite situation or how to track down Block earlier, Iris and Barry and Nora have kind of this family scene of all of them working together. And I think at one point, or kind of near the end of it, once they figure it out, Iris is like, all right, go Team West Allen. And she gets the biggest eye roll from Nora.
Yeah, like what is that? That is so, that, I don't know, that was strange to me. Like, I don't know if it's her resenting her mom, because I kind of thought the way they were going to go with this is that as, Iris, because thankfully she's doing more of her investigatory journalism.
Right.
She's doing more of that. And so because she is an important person on the team. And I'm wondering if, like, in the Flash Museum, maybe downplays her significance or her importance. And so a lot of Nora's, idolizing of her father comes on the back of Iris as well, because Iris, takes part and participates in the team and all that kind of stuff. So I'm wondering if it's something to do with her realization that maybe, like, she resents her for that. I don't know. It's weird. But like, I kind of thought what she would, instead of rolling her eyes at it, she would kind of be like, oh, okay, well, mom is cool. Mom does help out. Mom, you know, but yeah, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case at all.
I don't know, man. I think that's, I think you're right on with the resentment. I think that for whatever reason, there's resentment between Nora, or at least, yeah, between Nora and her Iris, in terms of the relationship they've had over the years. And I think that that kind of almost like, you know, gung-ho, like trying to make something happen. Maybe she's standoffish because she recognizes that. And maybe she has that same, or maybe she's seeing the origins of aspects of Iris's personality that have rubbed up against her in the wrong way as she was growing up.
Maybe the Flash's disappearance completely changed Iris.
Possibly. I mean, think about Savitar, like Barry in the future, in the alternate future where Savitar kills Iris. Like,
so Spider-Man 3 Barry?
Yes. Emo Barry. It is possible that Iris might go through a similar transition, but you got to remember she's a mom at that point too. And it's a little bit different when you lose somebody, but you still got to go on for somebody else. Versus Barry, who literally had nobody. Like, he lost his family and kind of, you know, pieced out and kind of internalized everything. I don't know. It'll be curious to see where it all plays out, but I'm digging their family dynamic. It speaks to me. I get it.
Well, there's some buildup there, and there's some tension that is just seems to be coming up, and eventually it's going to come to a head, and I'm very interested to see what kind of direction they go with that, because I really hope this isn't just one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, Nora doesn't like Iris just because, you know, single mom raising her, and she resents her, and like the classic kind of like teenage, oh, I hate you, mom kind of stuff, and that there is something behind it. Like, I'm hoping that they're going to, you know, establish that and like build on it and make it be something interesting. And it feels like that's what they're doing. So I'm all for it.
Seeing Nora react to people, and specifically to things that people said, was interesting. Like when Iris said earlier that, you know, kind of screw the future. We've fixed stuff in the future before. We will do it again. Like, she's not going to be hopeless. She's determined to see this happen. Nora looked towards that, and she was, what's the right word? Like, she was clearly impacted by what Iris was saying, but it was difficult to figure out how. Like, it's not like she was offended by what Iris was saying, nor was she necessarily surprised, but she almost kind of like, I don't know, it was almost like a shove. She got it. Like, she felt it, but she didn't like push back, and she didn't necessarily react. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree, but it's interesting how she talked to Barry about it, because Nora says to Barry, you know, it seems like mom is, you know, or adjusted to, what did she say exactly? So it seems like mom is fine with this whole disappearance thing, or she accepted that disappearance thing.
It's like, oh yeah, she got used to that kind of quickly.
Yeah. And then, you know, Barry was like, oh yeah, well, you know, she's always, you know, steadfast and all that kind of stuff. And the way she said that, though, you're right, was like standoffish kind of.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, it's great to see mom taking this so well. Maybe she doesn't take it well. Maybe, you know, this is all a show and Iris is putting on a show and Nora knows it, and Nora would just rather her confront her feelings about it, and rather than, like, you know, put on the stonewall face and, you know, be strong about it. I don't know.
Interesting. So maybe the reality that Nora experienced is not a steadfast Iris. Maybe. I mean, like, think about it. Iris's mom, correct me if I'm wrong, was a junkie, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe Iris actually turns to drugs in the midst of, like, you know, and so she's kind of gone more in the direction of her mom rather than her dad.
Oh, that would be interesting.
There's a lot of questions there, but we'll definitely see that as it unfolds. One thing I like about this series predominantly is that they get into this stuff fairly quickly and pay off these kind of relationship issues before you know it. So looking forward to seeing what comes out there. Belle, this episode was notable because we got the first real interaction with the big bad of the season, or at least this first half of the season, Cicada. Now, we actually see Iris listening to the cicada noise, and I was like, oh, yes. Y'all know Candace Patton. She's from Mississippi. You know what that means.
She knows about those cicadas.
Absolutely. We got cicadas. We know that noise down here. So, but one way or the other. Yeah, man. So Cicada, he shows up at the top of the episode. We actually get a chance to see him as he's processing the fight. That was actually a little confusing for me going into it, because I don't think I realized at first that we were actually seeing Cicada.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought that maybe he was the meta that he killed at first. Like, it was the way that it was cut was a little off. And honestly, at the moment, I could not remember what the big bad from, or the meta of the week from last week looked like.
Oh, Gridlock. You couldn't tell if it was Gridlock or not?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was Gridlock or not.
Oh, no, he had a hood and a mask and a knife.
Yeah, no, I know. But I was curious if, like, because at that point, we didn't quite know yet what the dagger did. And so I was like, I wonder if this is like a transference type deal, which would be a little repetitive if they did. But that's clearly not the case. So what we finally see is, in fact, Cicada, mask off, and a use of what essentially are his powers. That dagger immediately takes away anybody's meta power, regardless of how they got it, right then and there.
Yeah, and it seems to be proximity-based, too. I figured it was something you had to stab them. But no, it's just if you come in contact or close enough to it, it pulls those powers out.
The dominant theory at the moment is that, yes, that it's proximity-based and that it's not necessarily eternal. Like, this seems to be more of like a temporary thing as opposed to a, you know, forever type deal. But we'll see what ends up happening. And one way or the other, it's going to bring us to this week's
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man, so who is Cicada really? Now, we know who he is in the comics. David Hirsch, or if I'm pronouncing that name wrong, forgive me. It's comic books, and I know people who said Dark Saeed as opposed to Dark Side. So there you go.
Dark Saeed.
So David Hirsch is the Cicada from the comics. He is a bit older. In fact, a lot older than what we appear to see on screen here. David Hirsch in the comics, he does have the lightning bolt. There is kind of some similarities into what we saw on screen versus who the comic book character is. The dagger, or his power set specifically, actually takes away the life force of people around him. Whereas here we saw it more of taking away the powers of people around him. But we also haven't necessarily seen him use that on non-meta, so that could still be the case. One way or the other, yeah. Man, this show is fast and loose with the continuity. So a lot of times they take things in different directions than what you might expect. And while they've said going into the season they want to keep this character very much kind of a little bit more grounded and there's not going to be a big mystery, I mean, they've kind of taught us to see the mystery maybe when there's not one and maybe when there's one there, but they don't want us to know about it. So, Bell, I ask you, who is Cicada really?
I mean, I don't know. Like, the obvious sticking right out at you answer is that it's Caitlin's dad.
No, what?
I mean, I don't know. It's like I've heard this from numerous people, like on the internet, that it's going to be Caitlin's dad.
Oh, well, if it's numerous people on the internet, it is not Caitlin's dad.
What? I know, but like it's one of those things where, you know, it's that's what they do with this show is they I don't know. It's just weird. But like, I don't personally believe that it's Caitlin's dad. I think that, I mean, to me, I'm thinking that Caitlin's dad's going to be more like.
Well, Caitlin's dad's, it's Killer Frost. I'm not sorry, not Killer Frost. He's Icicle Senior is going to be.
Icicle Senior. Yeah. Like that's who I'm thinking Caitlin's dad's going to be. But so Cicada, I don't know. Like some dude who has a vendetta against metahumans who is trying to kill them all. Who has been harmed by metahumans that we've seen thus far, assuming that it even is somebody we've seen thus far, who's been hurt by metahumans or had something taken away from them by metahumans who would have a vendetta against metahumans,
one. So here's the thing. That's all well and good. Like that is the obvious, like that's who potentially David is. That's who potentially Cicada is. Somebody who's been hurt by metahumans got a vendetta. That's great. But here's my thing. I'm looking more at the fact that it all comes down to that last scene. He's fighting Team Flash, or at least members of Team Flash, takes away their powers, totally owns them because most of those folks don't know how to fight without their superpowers. It's like the one time that I'm like, maybe you guys need to call Oliver. And after he owns all those dudes, XS shows up and he looks at her and they kind of have this moment. And in fact, XS is the only one who immediately name drops Cicada. The understanding, or at least the presumption, is because she studied all of the metas, because she spent that time at the Flash Museum, that maybe she knows who they are. But it's very possible that he could actually be somebody from her future that is also currently in the present. And at first, my thought was that perhaps we are seeing like someone who's related to her. Now, I'm sure you've seen this theory as well, Belle, that perhaps he is her twin. We know in the comics that Iris and Barry have twins. And while, you know, Dawn and Dawn are the twins from the comics and Nora is not necessarily mentioned, she's kind of the embodiment of those characters. You know, for the longest time, we kind of gave her the code name or the presumed name of Dawn Allen. What if she actually does have a twin and that is actually who Cicada is?
I mean, it's possible, but does he not use speedster powers because he doesn't want to, or what?
I'm still looking at the fact that lightning is red, which is the same color of the, you know, the negative speed force lightning.
Yeah, and also bear in mind that Nora said dad when she saw him about to stab the Flash.
Ooh.
Which is another thing that could be going on there.
You think he's her dad, or you just mean the fact that he reacted?
Well, so no. She yelled dad when Cicada was about to stab the Flash, correct? And so he heard that, looked over, saw her, walked away. Was it the fact that he saw her, or the fact that he now knows that the Flash is her dad? I mean, does that have anything to do with anything? I don't know. But it is important to know that she didn't say Flash. She said dad.
Okay. All right. No, you know what? That's a good point. I didn't really kind of register that at the moment, that maybe he's not reacting to who she is, like in terms of like, I know her. It's more of what she is in terms of what she said. And so it's not, oh, I'm killing some meta. I'm killing somebody's father.
Yeah.
Interesting. Or I guess in that instance, somebody's daughter, because he was actually going up against her.
Or maybe he's like, this changes things. This is more interesting. I don't know.
Ooh. And so that's the thing. I did not get from the brief moments that we had with him before. He seemed very like internal and distraught. You know what I mean? Like he didn't seem manipulative or world conquering or, oh, now I'll do something even more dastardly. He almost seemed depressed.
Yeah. And it's weird because it wasn't like, you know, he was straight up going to stab Flash and he didn't. But it wasn't like once he saw XS and she said dad and like all that interaction happened, it's not like he was just like, oh, no, I got to run or anything. He's just like, yeah, I'm just not going to, I'm not feeling this anymore. Yeah, whatever. And just like walks off, you know, it was really odd how that happened.
Mm. Yep.
But I definitely think that she, it seems from, you know, future knowledge with the preview of the next week's that she, you know, she knows who this guy is. But what we don't know is how does she know who he is? Like you said, could it be the Flash Museum or is there something different? I mean, maybe, you know, in the season finale of last year, she comes out and she says, you know, I made a big mistake. Maybe this is part of that mistake. Maybe she accidentally brought him back. I don't know. But there is still that kind of, you know, cookie kind of like dangling out there of like, I made a big mistake. She's already lied to them once about why she wanted to stay. So I'm thinking there's more to that mistake than she's leading on.
Interesting. I am curious. Yeah, go ahead.
And that could have something to do with Cicada.
Huh. I'm curious if, you know, her aunt is going to play into her future more.
Because
she hasn't interacted with the baby at all.
That's true.
And I just wonder if there might be something there. I don't know. I'll put it out like that for now. But we want to hear your theories. Do you think Cicada is exactly who Cicada is, or do you think that there is something more to be said about this character and what his relationship could or could not be with Nora from the present and or future and or past? Let us know your thoughts. We love getting those in. And yeah.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow,
red and yellow, red and yellow. All right, man, listener feedback on Twitter. We got from Matt. He said, here's my too early theory. A little bit too early for the theory, he says. He says, what if Cicada is a play on the Cobalt Blue character? Remember, in the comics, Eobard was actually the descendant of Barry's twin. Perhaps this is how they reintroduce Thawne into the timeline again. Flashpoint changes everything. Huh.
Interesting.
So the idea is that because of the machinations of Flashpoint, perhaps Barry created his own twin scenario that sets the Eobard, the Thawne lineage back on track.
That could be interesting.
Here's the only thing. Well, go ahead.
Well, okay, because that's the... Okay, so Flashpoint does change everything. Yes, you're right. But we also got to remember that Eobard also changes everything by going back in time and like rearing the Flash, right? So
yeah.
What if when Barry goes back to do the Flashpoint, I don't see how Nora would not know that she had twins and would not know that one of them.
No, he's saying this is Barry's twin.
The Cicada's Barry's twin. Yeah. I know. But what I'm saying is like Barry wouldn't. I'm trying to remember how they do it in the comics where like the Thawns and the Allens, they had the twins, and like did the Allens just give them one of their babies? I don't remember exactly how it happened.
So in terms of like the Malcolm origin story, man, I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, I know the story, but I just can't recall. She went into labor, but then they didn't realize that she had a second child, and then the second child got mixed up in the hospital.
One of them didn't die right after birth, and then they resurrected it with a stone, did they? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's right.
But the child got raised by the Thawns, and so therein lies kind of that lineage and how it's tied to Barry. It's very convoluted, and it is very kind of comic booky and soap opera-y, and you know, for a story about a guy who can run at the, you know, beyond the speed of light, it still requires you to really kind of stretch your imagination to see how on earth that's possible. But regardless,
regardless of all of that, it could be that Flashpoint set those events into motion, and that now there is a twin that Barry never knew about. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, so my only argument against that would be that if they're going to do a Cobalt Blue that exists in that time period, I would think it would be related to Eddie and not Barry. Unless the idea... So here's what I mean by this. If Barry has somebody his age that is also supposed to be the great, 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 you know, exponential grandfather of Eobard, then Eddie killing himself would have no impact.
But that was pre-Flashpoint.
Even still. Because what I'm saying is that that character has a biological connection to that Thawne as opposed to a Thawne who's actually an Allen.
True.
Even with Flashpoint.
True.
So that's my only argument against that. I like the idea that Flashpoint may have changed some things and that, you know, I look forward to seeing an explanation for Eobard. I would argue that the story for a Cobalt Blue and a resurgence of Eobard is that somehow someone, possibly Eobard himself, pulls Eddie out of the singularity. Like, somehow gets him out of the singularity, and in the process, it creates Cobalt Blue out of Eddie and restores the lineage that thus restores Eobard.
Eddie is Cobalt Blue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm on board with that. He has a reason to hate Metis. Metis stole his girl.
Are you saying that Eddie is Cicada?
Yeah, Eddie's Cicada.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, Eddie's Cicada. I'm saying it right now. Eddie's Cicada. It makes Eobard pulled him out of the timeline, gave him this dagger that for some reason can like pull powers away that's connected to the reverse speed force because he has to survive so that he can survive.
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely
no, you're ridiculous. And this is the truth.
All right. So let's see. We're also seeing that John Keith the Fourth is saying, hey, guys, maybe Nora's mistake led to way more murders. Perhaps this is the reason that Cicada reacted the way that he did to her. Maybe.
That is interesting because she did have a really weird reaction when she found out that Gridlock had been killed.
Yeah.
She was like, wait, Gridlock's dead? Like, she wasn't expecting that. So she's like, uh-oh. You know, like, I'm making some mistakes here.
Yeah, Karen's saying that that Cicada does have Cobalt Blue-like traits, especially with the Lightning Dagger. Taking meta powers like the blue crystal took speedster powers in the comics. That's true. And Karen, far be it for me to even try to match wits with you in terms of comics, because like you were absolutely the queen of comic and Flash knowledge. But correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Cicada from the comics like utilize that exact same dagger? But maybe what you're saying is it's a blending of those two characters.
Oh, so Cicada actually used Cobalt Blue's dagger, or
no? What I'm saying
is
in the comics. No, the dagger. I don't believe the dagger that Cicada carries in the comics is at all related to Cobalt Blue. But theoretically, they could be doing a thematic blending of the two. Cobalt Blue is a character that I think there's been a lot of fan demand for, and a lot of hopes that we will see in the series. And I guarantee at some point that will happen. But I hope they don't blend them the way they did Zoom and the Black Flash and essentially Jay Garrick of Earth 2. Yeah. Like I hope they don't do something like that. I'm hoping that when we do get a Cobalt Blue, it'll be Eddie or related to Eddie in some form or fashion and ultimately related to Eobard. Man, we also got an iTunes review in from JT Lambeau. What did JT have to say?
Flash with friends. This podcast is like sitting down to talk the Flash with some new friends. There's no better breakdown with some fun thrown in the middle. After one listen, you won't be able to wait until the next episode. Well, thank you, JT Lambeau.
Yeah, it's high praise. We appreciate that. And thank you so much, too, for tuning in, checking out the podcast. And, hey, if you ever want to join us for a live show, you can do so at facebook.com/FlashTV Talk. It's been a good night, man. Even though our technology rebelled against us at the get-go, we were still able to do the broadcast live. And now we know for next time to be able to start on time. And that time is 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Funny enough, I actually don't think that's going to be the case next week. I think it's going to be 6 p.m. next Wednesday. We'll have to talk about that. But one way or the other, we really appreciate it when y'all do that. Also, we love keeping up with you. You can follow us at Flash TV Talk or on our personal accounts, Twitter-wise. I'm at The Real Bo York, and Bell is at Ring That Bell.
And if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and live broadcast, be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/FlashTV Talk.
As always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides the outro music for our show. You can listen to the rest of his other awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
And of course, shout out to all the good folks at the DC TV Talk family of podcasts that you can find out there, talking, of course, about Legends TV Talk, Supergirl TV Talk, our friends at Starkville, and so many more good folks there. And that's going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, we'll be back in a flash.